The source one, this week we're going to learn about Parshat Toldot. The Parsha of this week is Toldot. Speaks about Abraham and Isaac. The Parsha begins with this line. Source number one. Want to read?
Sure. Source number one. These are the descendants of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. Mm-hmm. The Rebbe. Isaac's achievements are to Abraham's credit. The commentators ask, why does the verse quoted above repeat itself, stating that Isaac was the son of Abraham, and then again that Abraham fathered Isaac?
It's repeating the same thing. Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. These are the descendants of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. What is this? The simple answer is what? The
simple answer is that the verse is explaining how it is possible to be a descendant of Isaac, the son of Abraham, both in the literal sense, as well as in the spiritual sense, as the main offspring of righteous people are their Torah study and mitzvah. This is possible because Abraham fathered Isaac.
It means to say, because of Abraham, who Abraham was, that's why Isaac was able to continue in the same directions. So we learn what it means. Okay, you want to continue, Mr. Jaffe?
Isaac's legacy, Brit Milah and Bar Mitzvah. Isaac set a number of precedents, including circumcision at the age of 8 days, the ultimate form of Brit Milah, and Bar Mitzvah at age 13.
Okay. Isaac, the first Brit, you see, Abraham circumcised when he was 99. Who was the first Jewish baby who was circumcised by the age of eight days? Who had a Brit, a regular Brit? Isaac. Who had a regular Bar Mitzvah? Isaac. Abraham did not have a Bar Mitzvah. By Nimrod's neighborhood, there were no bar mitzvahs. Then, the Rebbe explains, continue.
Abraham had circumcised himself at age 99, and he also didn't have a bar mitzvah or a similar experience at age 13. There were a number of stages in Abraham's recognition of God.
Yeah.
3 years old, 40, and 48, but nothing happened at age 13.
You see, in the Medrash, we have three examples, three numbers that the Talmud and the Medrash discuss about Abraham's age when he started the journey. One says when he was 3 years old, he started the journey. The other one says when he was 4 years old. The third one says when he was 48 years old. But number 13 doesn't exist. There's no Bar Mitzvah age.
How old he was when he smashed the idols?
It's not written age. He was already an adult. No question about it. And maybe 48, and maybe even more than that. Around 48. Joe, do you want to continue? Source number two?
Rabbi Ami, the son of Rabbi Abba, said, Abraham was 3 years old when he recognized the Creator, as the verse says, because Abraham hearkened to my voice. Akev has a numerical value of 172, and Abraham was 172.
In this parsha, in our parsha, it's written, God tells Isaac, why I give you all the things, the blessing? Because Abraham observed my commandment. The word that the Bible is choosing to use, because, is the word Akev. Akev could mean, has two meanings, as a meaning as a heel of a person. And Akev also means because, the word because. How you spell the word Akev? Ein, Kuf, Bet. How much is Ein in numerical value? The letter Ein. Anybody knows? Anybody knows on Zoom how much is Ein? Ein is 70. Kuf, the letter Kuf is 100. Bet is 2. 172. 172 years, Abraham observed God's word. That means how long he lived? He lived to be 175. That means that the first 3 years, Abraham was not, he started his journey when he turned three, he started to think about God. That's why we do our optionish, you know, we cut the ear of a three-year-old boy. It's based on Abraham. Because Abraham's journey into Judaism started at age three, we start also the Jewish education of a child by the age of three. From there it's coming. There's other explanation, but this is the most, I would say the most meaningful one. Let's put it this way. Abraham was three, and therefore every Jewish kid, you tell him when he's 3 years old, it's time to join the army of God. The time to play is over. Let's get to business. Then this here is the source that we learned that we started with age 3. Well, there is another source. Go ahead. Yeah, what do you want to say? You want to?
It's very telescopic. I want to go back to where it says the simple answer of the verse is explaining the descent of Isaac and the son of Abraham. Why it says twice?
Yeah.
I would think because it's enforcing the thought, don't get it wrong. Don't ever mix it up, because Isaac is the son of Abraham and not another son and not any other way around that I won't take time to.
That's one explanation, and this is another one.
I agree with the other.
It's not a contradiction.
No, I agree with
you. Good. Yeah, I agree with yours too.
That doesn't carry over from the, could he father a child at 100, but the adult stuff there that he looked like him?
Sure, that's all of the above is right. Well, this area where we want to go, there is a message here. Okay, read source number 3, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
Please.
Source 3, memorize, laws of idolatry. Once Abraham was weaned, his mind began to ponder day and night how the universe could exist without one to lead it. His heart contemplated this until he understood the true and just path of his own. He realized that there is one God who runs the universe and created everything. Abraham was 40 years old when he recognized God.
When he recognized God, you see, Maimonides doesn't quote the 3 years old. He says the moment the boy became, once he was weaned, how old are you when you weaned? 3 years old, really, if you think about that. He started to think, and then he says, and then he recognized God. He started to think, how, where is God, and now the universe. And he finally came to this conclusion. That's Maimonides' opinion. And now it's on the Medrash Rabbah. Source number 4, please continue.
Source 4, Midrash Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Kanina both say that Abraham was 48 when he recognized God.
They say it was not 40, it was 48. Go ahead, it's Yosef's commentary.
During the generation of division, Abraham was 48 and he did not participate. This implies that he was 48 when he recognized God.
During the generation of division of Nimrod, Abraham was 48 years old, and he didn't participate in the generation of who built the generation of the Tower of Babel, and he did not participate in it. I mean, he was 48 years old. Obviously, that's the time when he recognized God. What it means is like this. It's not a contradiction. These three opinions are not a contradiction. He started the journey when he was 3. And when he became an adult, 4 years old, he really understood what God is. And when he was 48, he understood even better. Right? In a marriage, for example, you're in love. Then 10 years later, you understand even more what means to be married. 20 years later, your wife explains to you again what means to be married. And you understand better. Or to be a father, or to be a parent. It's all the same thing. It's a journey. It's a lifetime journey. Even our recognition of God, our relationship with God. It's a difference in your child relationship, when you're a teenager, or when you're an adult. The more experiences you have with life, the more a deeper connection you have to God. Yeah?
I agree with you.
Thank you. Now I can move on.
Both of these are...
Whoa, again. Thank you. We'll give this young gentleman who sits on our right to continue. The Rebbe.
Thank you, Rebbe. Both of these events are alluded to in the verse, the child grew and was weaned, and on that day Isaac was weaned, Abraham had a great feast. One opinion among the sages maintains that this feast was at the Brit Milah. This is alluded to by the Hebrew word for weaned, Hagamal.
Igomel.
I don't speak English.
It's okay.
The first two Hebrew letters have the numerical value of 8, and the last two letters mean circumcision.
Exactly. You see, Igomel is like this. A, Gimel. A is 5. Gimel is 3. Together it's 8. Mal means Milah, like the word Brit Milah. Milah means to circumcision. On the 8th day he was circumcised. Then there is a, it's written in the text that Abraham made a party on the day his son was Igamel. The question is, what is Igamel means? One opinion says Igamel means when he had made by his bris. Abraham made a big party by his bris, by his son's bris. Isaac's bris, he made a big party. How do you know it's a bris? Because A in Gimel is 8. It means is 8. And Mal means brit. And on the 8th day, he made a bris. He made a party. That's one opinion. Continue. A second opinion.
He also circumcised himself that day.
No, he circumcised a year before.
Oh, right before.
A year before. That's why he was able to walk.
A whole year to walk.
Exactly.
Exactly. A second opinion is that the feast was at age 13, and weaned here means weaned off of negative inclination and transferred to the positive inclination and process that occurred at age 13.
Yeah, the weaned means here, according to this opinion, is when he turned 13. I mean, today's world, we understand why weaned is 13. I mean, weaned is today when you finish college, when you graduate college, you become, you're weaned of your mommy's... Care, win.
It's a little later.
A little later. 37.
37, yeah. Right. When they decide that they might want to have children.
Or 40 or 48.
Oh, sorry.
Then the point is, there's two opinions. One opinion is the party was when he was 3 years old, when he was 8 years old. They made a party for his bris. The other opinion for his bar mitzvah. That's how we know to do bris. That's one of the sources for making a party by the bris. Is the story of Isaac. Of bar mitzvah. That's why we do a party by the bris and a party by the bar mitzvah.
So is he, Abraham circumcises himself before he knew that his wife was pregnant?
Before he got her pregnant after he was circumcised. That's all I
hear. It was a year later. It was 99, right?
He was 99. That was one of the, and he circumcised. Right? And a year later, they had a baby.
Gotcha.
He had to be born from him, from after circumcision. Yeah, exactly. Okay, what happened at this party? What?
Royal feast. The Midrash comes.
You don't want to know.
That's why I moved on.
The Midrash comments on the word great feast. That this was the feast of the greats, attended by Og, the giant, and all other mighty people of the time.
Great feast means it was the feast of the great. The great people were invited. Who are the great people? Og. Og was a famous, the giants from the Bible. There is one of them, the most famous one is Og. He was huge. And he was a king. The whole world was afraid of him. But Abraham was also a very famous man. What happened with Abraham? If you remember, in the Parshat Lech Lecha, there is a story, there was a war between 4 kings and 5 kings. It was the first world war, if you want, at least in this region. And the four kings overcame the 5 kings, and they took everybody there as prisoners of war. The war was against Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah lost the war. And one of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah was living was Lot, right? Lot became a prisoner of war. Og, the giant, came to Abraham and reported to him that his nephew, Og, Lot, is a prisoner of war. Abraham had a private army of 318 soldiers. He went and he fought against the 4 kings. And he won the fight, the war, and he released everybody. And obviously Lot. And after this war, you know, in a world that whoever is stronger gets respect, even in today's world that's like this, he became the king of the neighborhood. He became the big macher. He won this fight. They lost the war. He saved Sodom and Gomorrah and all these places. Then he made a party, invited all the kings. Who was invited? Og and all the other kings.
But how Og ended up again in Sodom?
Lot? Lot went back to Sodom. That's what happens to people like this. They go back to the same places they were, shouldn't go to the first place. See, God wanted to punish Sodom and Gomorrah, get rid of them then, by this war. Abraham was too kind. He says, give them another chance. He gave them another chance. Eventually, God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot was saved once, and he went back. You should know better, right? He went still down. The second time, That was the first time. Okay, I stopped you in the middle. All the nations...
All the nations of the world had appointed Abraham as the ruler over them. So when he held a feast, he invited all the kings, including Og.
Everybody was there. Okay, continue.
Source 5, Rabbeinu Bechaye.
Mm-hmm.
This supports our custom of celebrating the circumcision with a festive meal, because according to this midrash, Abraham made a celebration on the eighth day after Isaac's circumcision. This is a fitting custom. As King David said, gather to me my devoted ones who made a covenant with me over a sacrifice.
Then you gather people when you make a covenant. But a bris is considered a very holy meal. And if somebody is invited to a bris, he's not allowed to refuse. He has to come. That's why the Jewish tradition is that you don't invite people to a bris. You just announce there is a bris. You say there's going to be a bris on Tuesday, 10 o'clock, whatever it is, and that's it. And you leave it up to the people if they can make it, because if they are invited, they have to come, because it's a mitzvah, it's a big mitzvah. Yeah. Yeah?
I just wanted to make a confirmation about who Abraham is. When he went to buy the land, it says, and the children of Heth, and these were the Gentiles, Abraham said to him, hear us, my Lord, you are a prince of God in our midst.
You're right. So you're right. He was a prince, and he was a very important person, exactly.
All the land.
You're right. The debate at the party. You want to continue?
The debate at the party. Bereshis Rabbah. They said to Og, did you not say that Abraham is a barren mule who cannot father children?
Abraham is to, Og is to go around and say, who is Abraham? A schlepper. He cannot even have children.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, Ben.
You took the guilt of everybody else.
Yes, thank you.
Then he said he cannot even have children. Who is he? When he came to the breeze, the other guys told him, no. Now what do you say? Go ahead.
He said to them, and now what is his gift? Isaac is inferior and lowly, and I can crush him with my finger.
Says, oh, yes, a little boy, I can crush him with the finger. Continue.
The Holy One, blessed be he, said to him, why are you mocking his gift? By your life, you will see tens of thousands coming from his descendants, and in the end, you will fall in their hands. As it states, God said to Moshe, do not fear him, for I have placed him and his entire nation in your hands.
God told them that you were laughing at Abraham. We'll see. What was the argument between Abraham and Og? Strong is not so. What was the fight? What Og wanted from Abraham? What was going on there? That the Rebbe explains, it was an argument between two philosophies. Abraham, Og was a man of muscles. He says, guys, in this world, the stronger survives. If you don't have the power, you are garnished. You're nothing. Abraham goes around and gives me philosophies about the God and spirituality and morality. It doesn't sell. Og said, Abraham on the other end was selling spirituality. What he meant to say, he doesn't even have children. He meant to say, there is no following for such. Nobody buys it. He might go around and be a righteous man, it's all nice and fine. You'll see what I believe in muscles, in running, and exercising, and liftings all day. That sells. My philosophy will have a following. His philosophy doesn't have a following.
But you just said that Abraham sent in his 318
navies. Yeah, he had an army, but Abraham basically didn't sell power. He sold spirituality.
But it allowed Og to become the leader, I guess.
What do you mean? Og was a leader because of his power, not because of Abraham.
No, but what I'm saying is he killed the other kings and allowed Og.
No, Og was a leader in his own before that also.
They weren't threatened.
They were not threatening Og. Og was so powerful, nobody could threaten him. Then the argument was physical things or spiritual things. What is stronger? Mm-hmm. Money or spirituality? Freud or the other guy? What was his name?
Jung.
Who?
Freud or another psychiatrist?
Another psychiatrist.
Jung?
Carl Jung? No.
Warren Buffett?
No.
Freud?
The fighter?
At the same time?
No. Freud, Sigmund Freud.
Sigmund Freud.
He was a younger fellow.
Guy from the Holocaust, no, what is that?
Viktor Frankl.
Frankl says that man search for meaning. Yes. Freud said that a human being is the lowest of the lowest. Right. That was the fight. Ogur Abraham. Spirituality or physical, or being a physical animal, being an animal. Is a human being more than an animal or not? That was the question. And when he saw Isaac, he said, yes, so they told him, there is Isaac. Here is a child who is a bar mitzvah boy, and he goes, he's following his father's footsteps. He said, so that he has one boy, but it's not selling. I don't see a future. This is not something you go out to sell and everybody gets excited. What I sell, strength, power, achievement, that sells. What Abraham sells, there's no buyers for it.
Does that feeling change?
Sure, it changed.
Today.
Sure, it changed. It changed. You know, when the Rebbe came out with the idea of going out to secular Jews and offer the mitzvahs, you know what people said? Why should they want to do it? Why should a secular Jew want to put on film? Was it crazy? They didn't believe that they have something to sell. That what they have is something that people would like to do. And the Rebbe said that will sell. That's the same argument. Og and Abraham. The same story, never change. It doesn't have to be Og. What sells, what doesn't sell. Okay, go ahead.
The Rebbe, personal notes. In 1942, as the Holocaust was raging...
The Rebbe wrote personal... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Holocaust was raging in Europe. The Rebbe spoke at a bar mitzvah celebration in the USA, opening with the following question.
Okay. After the Rebbe passed away... they discovered in his drawers 3 binders of his writing from the time he got married until he became a Rebbe, basically, to himself. Very small writing, very concise, very short, points to himself. Everything was there. So much Torah and diaries and stories that he heard from his father-in-law, everything. Then he used to write to himself points what he's going to speak in certain bar mitzvahs or certain speeches. This is a speech that he gave by a bar mitzvah in 1942. He came to America in 1941. 1941-42 was the middle of the war. And at the worst time of the war in Europe, but in America, they celebrate a bar mitzvah. Life goes on. When you're not going to celebrate a bar mitzvah because there is a war in Europe. And what he said at this bar mitzvah. Go ahead.
The bar mitzvah is when a child enters the Jewish nation as a full-fledged member and accepts the yoke of Torah and mitzvot, to the joy and celebration of his family and friends. From where does he draw the strength for this? The question is particularly strong during this time of crisis, when the Jewish people are downtrodden and oppressed.
See, he's talking about mitzvah, everybody's excited. Why are you so excited? The Jews are being destroyed and killed and burned alive in Europe. The world is coming to an end. What is the future of this boy? He's celebrating his bar mitzvah. Where is he going with it? He's accepting the yoke of the Torah. You know, when my grandfather, Abayan Chazan, was a teenager, it was the time of the Bolshevik Revolution, the Communist Revolution, 1920. He used to walk into shul. The older guys used to take him. Aaron, don't you see that's only a bunch of old people? The future is not, Judaism is over. Go, become a mensch. Go to college, become... What are you doing here? He and his brother were the only two from the whole cheder who stayed religious. All the Jewish kids became communists. And again, it's the same thing. Every generation. That's what you look, all of Europe is destroyed, being destroyed. All the Jews are being persecuted and killed. Bar mitzvah. What's your future? People give up right away. Like today in America, there are people already underground. They just heard that somebody said to somebody, they're covering the yarmulkes, the chais, the turnaround, the chais, they're getting on the ground right away. An Uber, they changed the last name, An Uber. God forbid, nobody should know that they're Jewish. Shoin Boruch Hashem. Until the next message that things are good for the next 10 years, only prayers on Zoom in the basements. Okay, you want to continue?
Abraham's path is a dead end. Later in the speech, the Rebbe explained in depth what happened at Yitzhak's bar mitzvah. Og argued that Abraham's path of faith may be good for him, but it isn't relevant to the youth. They won't follow his way. This is what Og meant with he cannot father children. There won't be any future for this path.
1 second. He said what he meant to say is there is no future. Og said there is no future to Abraham. In 1942, people said there is no future for the Jewish people. After the war, when people came and said, oh, there is a few Orthodox Jews, oh, they'll survive, a few will be at least. Let's preserve it, the few. It should be like a museum. We'll have a few Orthodox Jews, there's no future. That was the attitude. Everybody says, at least we protect my own children, let's keep somebody Jewish. It's over. Okay, what was let's see what Og's approach was.
Only King of Bashan is left in the remnant of the Rephaim. His bedstead of iron. Is it not King Rabba of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was its length and 4 cubits its breadth, according to the cubit of the land.
The Torah describes how big was the bed of Og, made out of iron. When he was a little boy, when he's young, it was already so big and so strong. Continue Rashbam, what he says. You want whatever.
Yeah. Bedstead of iron as a child, he was very strong. When he lay down, he would break a wooden cradle. Thus, they made him one of iron. Rabba of the children of Ammon, it is still there in his hometown, attesting to the wonder of a child so large. Can I comment on what doesn't sell? In Psalm 73, I'm only going to give a couple of statements. It said the evil walk around with a necklace of pride. And the fellow speaking this here, it may be Aesop, I don't know, surely in vain I have puffed up my heart, washed my hands in cleanliness.
What are you saying now? What are you quoting?
Psalm 73.
What is this connected to here? I don't understand.
I'll connect it. Give me just 1 second. I'll
go ahead.
It strongly. For I was plagued all day long. This is like about Abraham with Isaac. I will tell how it is. Behold, I will cause the generation of your children to rebel. When I reflected to understand, it was iniquity in my eyes until I came into the sanctuary of God. Many people come into the sanctuary of God and they don't recognize, they might recognize God, they'll be aware of God, but do they recognize who God is?
Okay, we'll deal with that.
Yeah.
Mark is starting 7:30 lately.
Oh.
That's okay, but it's better than
he's on Central's time.
I don't even know what kind of time I'm on.
Mid-Central.
Don't worry. The point is, yeah. What you want to bring here, then let's read what the Rebbe says. Read that. You know what, Ben, you continue to read.
Yeah.
Og, the Rebbe, personal notes.
Page 7.
He should have
six.
Had my pillow, and then he would have been okay. Og's approach was his bedstead, which Rambam explains refers to his childhood cradle, was a bedstead of iron, meaning that physical strength is the main thing. Of the mitzvot, Og argued, only those that are logically necessary should be observed.
And now the Rebbe takes it at a deeper level. Og was not against mitzvot. But you know which mitzvahs he liked? Mitzvahs that make sense. Helping the poor, visiting the sick, burying the dead. Yeah, why not? Putting on film? A mezuzah? Saying a blessing over the lulav? What is this?
Circumcision,
for example? Are you crazy? Then what? Og came, went to save Lot. Yeah, he came to Abraham to save Lot because it's a normal thing to save a prisoner of war. Sure, we are all for it. Read.
This is why he advised Abraham to go and save his nephew Lot, as this was a logical mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
The verse states, his bedstead was in Rabbah of the children of Ammon. Rabbah was the capital city, and his bedstead was displayed there in order to educate the residents of the country, teaching them his approach that physical strength is paramount.
That's the all it's about physical power. Yeah, we can do favors to people. Why not? You know, reminds us this argument. It was the argument between the Greeks and the Jews. The Greeks were not against mitzvahs. They loved the Jews. They were impressed by the Jews. You're such smart people. You're such moral people. You're charitable people. That's beautiful. But why you have some time assignment? I start to talk to you and you talk to me nonsense. You ain't doing a breeze? Because that God said something. If it makes sense, do it. But if it doesn't make sense, what's wrong with you guys? Then the mitzvahs that the Greeks were fighting, well, why they took the oil and they defiled the oil on the menorah, right? Couldn't find pure oil. What is defiling oil? It's the same bottle. It's clean oil. What defiling is? Somebody who is not Jewish, who is not pure, touches it, or touches the bottle, or opens it. It's the same oil. Purity and impurity is above logic. That's what they didn't like. This above logic machine, guys, we have to cut it out. You're crazy. What are you believing in, these things that don't make sense? You know, that yesterday, last night, landed a plane, Chabad bought a plane of family members of the hostages, came to New York to the Rebbe's gravesite to pray. And they write in the New York Times and the Post and all of them, some people believe that this their prayer there will give them that as power that the Rebbe has power to speak. You know, a regular person thinks to himself, this above logic things that they couldn't stand. Og was all about logic. Whatever makes sense, works. Doesn't make sense, goodbye. And Abraham was all above logic. There is a God you don't see in your denier, you can smell him, you can touch him, and he's there and exists forever. Go ahead. Give this young man. I forgot to give the people on the Zoom to read, but we'll give Mark because he's also a new member from Zoom. And
which page are we on?
We're on page 8.
Og countered that this offspring is merely a gift, not an organic outgrowth that can take root and flourish. This wouldn't last, he said. He would crush it with his little finger.
When they told him about his son Isaac, his bar mitzvah boy, and he's continuing with his ways, he says, yeah, it worked out. By mistake, happens to be one boy with a nerd is going after his father. But all the cool guys, they're not going to do it. So you found one Isaac, Mikhail Maynard. What are you getting so excited? There is no future for this business. Okay, we'll start with the Kosovs.
Spirituality is the basis for physicality.
Exactly.
God's message to Og was, why are you mocking my gift? You will live a long life and eventually fall into the hands of thousands of his descendants. Even physical strength and might must be based on the foundation of spirituality and faith. Without this foundation, children will simply indulge in luxuries, which will ultimately harm their physical health and strength too.
What God is telling, they said that Og says, I will smash the boy. And God says, we'll see, we'll smash him. You will see that you will live long enough to see that from Isaac will come out thousands and thousands of Jews. And eventually Moses, the one, was killed Og. You understand? In the Bible, in the book of Bamidbar, of Numbers, you read how Og killed how Moses killed Og. What does this mean? God told the Og, you'll see. Physical might without a foundation of spirituality doesn't hold. Only physical might, people become indulged with themselves, and they're so powerful, they do whatever they want, they become lazy, and they ruin their own life. And then they become depressed, then they take opioids, and then they go crazy, and who knows where it's ending. The vaping and the shmeim and all these mishu guys, and it's going nowhere. Any success must be built on something spiritual, on a foundation of faith, of a commitment to God. That's the foundation. If without this, it's not going to work. Okay, Dr. Kosov. Og was defeated by the sword.
Okay,
Okay, this is why the war in which Gog fell into the hands of Isaac's descendant was a natural war fought with a sword, and the Israelites struck him by sword. He did not like the war with the city of Jericho, which was fought with the miraculous means of the shofar, or the miraculous war with Sennacherib.
So the Rebbe is saying here a very interesting point. God fought people, nations, in two ways. For example, Jericho. How was Jericho conquered? In a miraculous way. They went with the Ark of the Covenant, they blow the shofar, boom, the wall is shkoyach. That's a spiritual war. It's not a physical war. Came to Sancheriv. Sancheriv is a story that was a king who came. He put Jerusalem under siege. It was Erev Pesach. And at the night of Passover, when the Jewish people were celebrating the Seder and they're saying the Hallel, praising the miracles of God when he took them out from Egypt, the same night, it was a plague among the army of Sancheriv. I think it was 70,000 soldiers, like a huge number. I think 72,000, something like this. And they all died. And the rest of them wouldn't die, run away. It's again a miracle. Came to kill Og. God didn't tell Moses. Moses, just go and say the prayer. And he will fall. He had to eat them. They killed him with a sword. Why God did it with a sword? Because God wanted to show him that the physical mind that he has without a source of spirituality, we will kill you with our physical mind that's based on spiritual belief. Even a physical success cannot be successful without a spiritual foundation. That's what it's all about. See, it's like the famous joke in America that the first generation builds a business, the second generation expands it, the third generation destroys it. Why? Because they become indulgent, they become lazy. There is no spirituality because you got everything for free. You think you don't need God. You're God, and that's the end of it. And that's what the Rebbe makes the point to. Continue.
This was in order to show that physical strength and victory depends on the health of the soul, which comes from complete faith in God to the point of self-sacrifice.
It means to say. Then even physical might is dependent on spiritual power. As we see in the Israeli army today, that physical might is dependent on spiritual faith. They believe in God, they believe that the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, and this gives them the physical might that they are not afraid to go and to win the war. Yeah?
But I agree with what you say. But
that's
sometimes
nice.
Sometimes he gets confused, like when Elijah called God down to put out the fire,
mm-hmm.
and the others, I forgot their names.
The Baal.
Yeah, they called on their God.
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's spiritual, right?
They tried, no.
It was a false God.
It's a false story. Who won?
Yeah, Elijah won.
Ah, sure, no.
But they were calling on the wrong God.
Everybody can make up his own God he wants.
That's what I'm trying to say. It has to be biblical. Spirituality.
Obviously, you have to be real. You have to be the truth. If
right,
it's not the truth, it doesn't work.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the time of Og, there were a lot of idols. But they themselves knew it's a lie. You understand? Right. They themselves knew it's a lie. What means many different idols? I don't like what this idol is representing. I find myself another idol, a third idol. It means I'm God. I decide who is my God. But that's an all other story. What's the message? What the message is? Dr. Olchen, would you be kind enough to read for us?
Sure. How can we handle external threats? There is a directive here for every Jew. When we contemplate our situation, we realize that we find ourselves in a world with bad and evil actions, where the wicked people hold the upper hand. Our world is filled with concealment, as we see in our personal lives, where we spend most of our time occupied with material matters that strongly oppose the matters of holiness. With the strength of Og against an 8-day-old baby, the strongest concealment is from our external surroundings, and the Jewish people are the smallest nation.
Right? A person can think to himself, in the world. Og is big and strong, and I'm not nothing.
Muslims?
Yes. Well, we are standing today in the same problem. The whole world is against Israel. And the Jews feel lost.
No, not in Israel.
But even in Israel. The spies. The story of the spies is the perfect example of that. Because when they see the giants...
They saw the giant and they lost it. Yeah.
Yes.
They lost it.
Yeah.
It says, are we going to win the giant?
Like grasshoppers in their eyes.
You feel like grasshoppers in their eyes. Yes. How they knew they were like grasshoppers? Because they thought they were like grasshoppers. That's why they thought them. They look at them like this. Then a person can think to himself, what a wave of anti-Semitism in the world. Look what's going on. What's going to be here? We'll never survive. Oy vey, the world is coming to an end. And what's the answer? Barry, you want to continue?
The idea.
And the idea was not the answer.
One second.
While
we are occupied with holy matters, and especially when we are holding a great feast where all the nations of the world see that you are called by God's name, there are those that come along and think they can mock and dismiss us. We can then wonder, where will we draw the strength to focus on Torah and mitzvah? We are expected to focus on holiness, not only at the high point of the Yom Kippur prayers, but also all year round. How will we be able to handle all of this concealment?
That's what a person thinks to himself when he has to deal with life, even on a good day. Forget about the days like we have now. Therefore, it was your turn, actually.
Yes. Learning from Abraham. Here we have a directive from Abraham. The actions of the fathers are a sign for the children.
You know, there is a very famous line that the actions of the fathers, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's why it's written in the Torah. It's a lesson for the children, for the young generation, for us to learn from them.
We are all descended from Abraham, who paid no attention to the entire world around him and announced that God is the ruler of the world. The world is godliness, and there is nothing other than God. This approach of Abraham is what fathered Isaac.
Now we're going back to the beginning of the question. It's written in the Parsha, this is the descendants of Isaac. Eli told us, Yitzchak, the son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac. What is the strength of Abraham, of Isaac? That he came from a father like Abraham. What fathered Isaac? The idea that there is a God, and God is in control, and we have nothing to be worried. Look, Abraham was the only one in the world with one son, Isaac. His wife already died. Yeah, but where is he? I mean, even between Sarah was alive. And the whole world was against him. And look who won the fight. Go ahead.
In the same way, every Jew, wherever we find ourselves, should have no fear from those who pride themselves in their physical strength. We have a super rational relationship with God, and we express this in our lives both on Shabbos and weekdays. We transform the physical to serve as a vehicle for godliness, spiritual descendants of Isaac. This will empower Isaac's physical descendants to be victorious over all those fighting God in his Torah, like in the war of Og. May this pave the way for the conquest of the land of Israel, led by Mashiach, speedily in our days.
Amen. What he says here is that the spirituality, it's not like that you can be a spiritual man and it's good for you. Spirituality gives you the strength in the physical way. Also in the physical world, you'll be more successful. Not only in the spiritual world. If you are connected to God, in the physical world, you make more money, you'll be more successful in everything that you do. In the physical world, you will compete with Og and you'll win it. Not you say, Og is, in this field, Og is stronger. In my field, I'm stronger. No. In Og fields, you'll be stronger. That's what it's all about. And that's the strength that a Jewish person has. Then today, when it looks like the giant is against us, nothing to be worried. We are few, there are many, Yes, that's how God created the world. It's in the Torah, God writes that the Jewish people will always be the smallest nation on earth. Yes, but still we have the strength of God. And when you have the strength of God, you can win everything.
I don't know how you get the strength to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Who?
They had.
Who?
Shadrach, maybe you pronounce his name different. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were the three who were going to...
Oh, he's talking about the three prophets.
They were told to go into the fire.
He's talking about the three prophets.
Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah jumped into the fire?
Mm-hmm. That's who he's talking about.
Thrown into the fire.
Those who threw him in the fire burned alive.
By Nimrod?
Not by Nimrod. This was by Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I need more those Abraham was talking to buy. So what do you want to say about the tree, yeah?
They had faith and they had obedience. And they were willing to sacrifice.
That's the point. If you're ready to sacrifice yourself for God, then you're connected to God, then you can win every fight in the world.
Yeah.
And we are connected to...
How do you do that?
We are connected to God.
But how do you have sex?
We are connected to God. Now listen. We are connected to God,
yeah.
And therefore we will win the war.
Yeah.
We'll win every war, and the Jewish people will thrive in America and will be successful for many, many years to come. And then Moshiach will come, and they will take the Jewish people to Israel, and then we'll convert the world to believe in one God and be no wars. Then that's the ultimate goal,
amen.
Is to get the world on our side. That's what it's all about.
Now, if I have the fire, are you ready to go into the fire?
As long as you have hot dogs.
Yeah.
Kosher hot dogs.
Look, nobody willingly goes into
the fire. Yeah, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did not go to the fire willingly. They were thrown into the fire, as you just said it, right? We are not looking to go to the fire. We are looking to serve God while we are healthy. Nobody is looking to give his life.
We're not looking to make war.
God doesn't want us to die. God, we are not. Judaism is not looking for martyrs. We are looking for living people who are observing the Jewish life, waking up in the morning, putting on film, going to work, being honest in business, and so on. No more healthy human being. If there is a case, if there is a crisis, and we have to give our lives, we do it. But we are not looking for. There is actually, in the Talmud, there is an example the Rebbe pointed out a lot. The difference in Abraham and Rabbi Akiva. Abraham, he was thrown into the furnace, right? When he broke the idols, he didn't look to be thrown into the furnace. Rabbi Akiva, when he was burned alive, according to tradition, Rabbi Akiva was burned alive by the Romans.
I've read that he was going into the mouth of the lion.
One second, Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Akiva. No, that's a description. It's a metaphor. It's not. It didn't go to the mouth of the lion. But the point is, when Rabbi Akiva when he was about to take him to be killed, his disciples asked him, "Now what? What do you say now?" He says, "All my life, I was waiting for the opportunity to give my life for the sake of God, and now God gave me this opportunity. I should not be happy." That the Rebbe pointed out, that was Rabbi Akiva's way of business. But in general, a Jew is to be like Abraham. He's not looking to give his life. But if it comes, and it's needed, he should be ready for it. But he's not looking for it. No. We are looking to live. The goal of God is to have physical people enjoying the world, the physical world, in a spiritual way. Serving God within the regular world, eating hot dogs in the fire. Yeah. That's kosher. As long as it's kosher adults.
That's what I said. Kosher
adults. Kosher adults. That's what you want. We are not looking for martyrs. We're not looking for people to die. No. We don't need it. Verstehst? We are not looking for it. Other religions are looking for it, Mister. Not us. We want people to be normal, to be healthy, to have families, to serve God. The biggest challenge is to live a normal life and to have God in mind. To die, you die in 1 second. You know, it's not so hard. You give your life, you jump into the fire and finish. The person jumps into life. It's hard, but it's not. The hardest job is, it's much harder to live as a Jew in Russia under communism for a lifetime and fight every day again and again to do the mitzvahs. than in one moment to give your life for God.
I agree with that.
You understand? You understand what I'm saying to you?
I'm trying to.
Then you have to change your way. Thank you guys all for joining us.
Thank you, Rabbi.
And the class is a little shorter today. It's okay. I'm sure you'll forgive me, right?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi.